Well, morning, folks. It's good to be with you here in the auditorium, or if you're up at the gallery here at Church in the Marketplace, and if you're joining us online, then a special good day to you. We're really glad that you're joining us, and we pray that God will bless you as we gather together around His Word. We're part of this series still on the track. Alex bought his hat today. If you want to bring something Australian for the next 2 weeks, we're still on this theory of the track, this story about the track. So well done, Alex. So if you want to dress Aussie in some way, if you want to stick a bit of straw in your mouth and just chew on that while you kind of listen to a message, I don't know what it is. No, you can't bring a beer and sit down there and wait till the message is over. If you want to Australiana in any way, then you're welcome to do that. If you've got a story about a track you've been on, if it's been an exciting sort of holiday track and you want to share it for just 30 seconds next week, or if you've got some pictures about that or over the next 2 weeks, or if you've got a story about how you've been on the track of your life and God has somehow blessed you on that track or helped you on that track and you want to share that for a minute, I'd be delighted for you to do that. Just let me know, let the office know that you've got something you want to share or some pictures you want to show. If you want to just rock up in your boots and whatever, then that's fine. You don't have to let me know about that. Well, today I got a theory that I want to test with you. Here it is. I reckon that one of the most difficult things in life is to know what we don't know. What do you think? Do you think that's true? None of you think that's true. Oh, one. I'm not scoring too well here. I better go back and rethink this. I mean, maybe you've had a few of those moments yourself. I don't know. If you're a parent, how could you have known that you knew nothing about parenting until the day your first child was born? There's a few nods around the place. I mean, if you've ever done any investing, you've probably made a mistake or two. How could you have known that what you didn't know until you made a mistake that cost you some dollars somewhere? Hopefully it wasn't too many. So over the last few weeks, we've been looking at some wisdom, a bit of a formula for getting from where we are to where we want to be. And what we've been learning is that our direction determines our destination. That getting from point A to point B involves more than our hopes and our dreams. It involves a track, a path in life, a direction. That's the main idea of this series. And we're exploring some of the wisdom of Solomon that we find in the Old Testament, specifically in the book of Proverbs. Another piece of wisdom we've seen in Proverbs is that life can often involve us in a series of mid-course corrections. Because when we see danger, it wouldn't be prudent to ignore it. We want to take refuge and avoid the danger. And there's some wisdom in other parts of Proverbs that we won't explore as part of this series, but I'm encouraging you to read Proverbs for yourself. It's not a long book. As I said, Billy Graham read a chapter of Proverbs every day of his life, it says. And I want you to see what wisdom you can pick up from the wisdom of Solomon in the book of Proverbs. For example, here's another bit I saw there that Solomon cautions us about simply trusting our hearts and how we feel. Because he says our hearts and our feelings can deceive us. That's part of Solomon's wisdom. We can find out that it was a mistake to simply trust our feelings when we're trying to determine which path in life, which track in life at times to take. Or here's some positive wisdom that's sitting there in Proverbs. It says something like, and I'm paraphrasing it here, One of the easiest ways to make a great decision is to ask ourselves, what story do I want to tell about this part of my life years from now? So have you ever done that exercise that says, what would you like written on your tombstone? Now, many of us might have tombstones these days, but you know, when your life is ended, what's a brief thing that you would like people to say about you? It's kind of that idea. Anyhow, you should read Proverbs for yourself, for the wisdom that God wants to give you. Today, I want to help us learn a different lesson, another lesson to help us along life's track. And the lesson has to do with figuring out what we don't know. So as we prepare to do that, let's pray. Our Lord, you know it all. It's not that you're a know-all, it's just that you do because you're God. That you somehow hold all things in your hands. we go through life in a linear direction from past to present to future. But you hold all of those three together in your hand. You hold wisdom and knowledge. We can only know the tiniest fraction of a fraction of a fraction of all the knowledge that there is to be known. You know it all. So, Lord, we can easily fool ourselves. We can easily think we know more than we do. So help us this morning as we just look at this bit of Solomon's wisdom, just to know how we might be more wise, how we might know what we do know and also have the wisdom to know what we don't know and find some clues about how we get that wisdom and knowledge as we go down the track of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So how do we do it? How do we discover what we don't know that we don't know so that we avoid some of the potholes and the pitfalls and the landmines that we never saw coming? Fortunately, Solomon, the author of Proverbs, he was supposedly the wisest man who lived in his time. He gives us some help with that as well. So in Proverbs 15:22, he writes, "Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed." So how can we know what we don't know? At least part of Solomon's answer is that we seek advice from advisors. Specifically, we seek the right advice from the right advisors. So I was trying to think about why we don't seek good advice. Why are we sometimes reluctant to seek advice? Here are a couple of suggestions. I don't think I'm very good at seeking advice. So here are a couple of reasons why. The first one is we think we already know what we need to know. But maybe that's not it. Maybe that's just our ignorance. That's one thing. The second thing is I think it feels better to have people think that we know where we're going than to let them know we don't have a clue. That's called pride. It's not just about men driving and women giving directions. It's not just about that at all. And the third one is, sometimes we think it's just too much work to figure out how to get advice. And that's called laziness. The Bible's got another word for it. It calls it slothfulness, which is a word that we don't use very much. But I kind of like it. If I'm being lazy, I'm being slothful. No, you can't call me that. But anyway, so sometimes we make plans without counsel, and those often fail, or at least wind up being less effective than they could have been. At other times we get counsel, but we get inferior counsel because we take it from the wrong people. So another question this morning could be, why don't we seek advice from wise counsellors? And here's a couple of suggestions about that. I think we always think it's easier to get advice from our friends. Second thing, I think, is that sometimes we just find it easier to follow the crowd. And the third one is, sometimes we think it's just easier to copy what our parents did. A guy called Andy Stanley, who wrote this book called The Path, he says, "I'm constantly amazed at how resistant folks are to take their cues from people who are where they want to be." So you can imagine that, somebody who's where you want to be, and he says he's amazed at how reluctant we are to actually take advice and seek counsel from them. "But I'm even more amazed," he said, "at how quick the average person is to borrow a page or two from someone who's never been where they want to be." Think about someone or some situation you probably know. How about the parents who parent like their parents and wonder why their kids are turning out the same way they did? Well, then there are the couples who treat each other the way they saw their mums and dads treat each other and wonder why they're just as unhappy as their parents were. These are folks who have a good idea of where they want to be, but are content to follow a map used by folks who've never been there. Happens all the time among your friends and mine. One of the great things about having friends who share our season, our time of life, is that we have so much in common. But the downside to that is that they aren't much further down the track of life than we are. Folks, our friends are great for friendship. They aren't always great for advice giving. And often it's not their advice that gets us into trouble, it's the assumptions we make based on what we observe about our friends. And these assumptions become a map we inadvertently follow. There's a name for it, and it's called the herd assumption. H-E-R-D, the herd assumption. The herd assumption happens when we assume that since everybody we know is doing something the same way, it must be all right. If everybody we know is mortgaged to the hilt, driving two leased vehicles and applying for a home equity line of credit, then it can't be all that bad. If everybody we know works 60 hours a week and sees their family mainly on weekends, then it must work out somehow. And the problem, of course, is that everybody is headed for a similar destination at which no one yet has arrived, and it feels safe. Everybody can't be wrong. But it's not safe. And by the time it becomes obvious that each of those directions leads to undesirable destinations, it's usually too late to do much about it. So taking our cues from people who share our season in life is equivalent to asking for directions and following the directions of someone who's never been where we want to go. So how do we get good advice along the track, along the paths of our life? What's the secret to good counsel, and where do we find it? Solomon says in Proverbs 1 verse 5, he says, "Let the wise listen and add their learning, and let the discerning get guidance." Wise people listen to counsel and get wiser. Discerning people listen for guidance and get further along the track. So what are some secrets to getting good counsel? Well, I think the first one is knowing that we will always need good counsel. No one gets to the place where they no longer need wise counsel. Nobody. The second thing Solomon says is, ask more than one person's advice. He says, for lack of guidance, a nation falls, but many advisers make victory sure. Notice the word Solomon inserts before advisers in this proverb. Many. Many. Not one. Many. Here's something that's going to sound really obvious to you. Most of the really important decisions in your life seem really important to you. Isn't that so? Right? And most of our important decisions seem to have a sense of urgency about them. That's true too, I think. They're so important that they dominate our thinking. They're with us all the time. So we want to make those decisions as quickly as possible. But Solomon's advice reads, many advisors make victory sure. When the decision is important, ask more than one person for advice. Third thing about good counsel, I think, is not letting pride keep us from admitting what we don't know. Pride, Solomon says in Proverbs 13, only breeds quarrels, but wisdom is found in those who take advice. Pride may be the number one enemy of the track, the direction of our lives. Successful people are open to the fact that they don't know everything they need to know, and are quick to go to people who do. Solomon describes this in terms of the track, the direction of our lives, in Proverbs 12:15, when he says, "The way of a fool seems right to him, but a wise man listens to advice." The way of a fool seems right to him, but the wise man listens to advice. Can you see what he's saying? The way of a fool, another way to say that would be the track, the path, the direction of a fool seems right to him. So a friend comes and says, "I'm worried about the direction you're headed," and the fool says, "You don't need to worry about me." What does the wise man say when a friend says, "I'm worried about you"? He says, "Look, I'm really grateful you care. Tell me what you're seeing." A dad comes to his son and says, "I'm worried about some of the habits you're developing." The foolish son says, "Leave me alone, Dad." The wise son says, "Tell me what you're seeing, Dad." A mum comes to a daughter and says, "Honey, I think your behaviour could get you into trouble someday." The foolish daughter says, "Mum, you're so old-fashioned." The wise daughter says, "Tell me what you're seeing, Mum." supervisor comes to an employee and says, I know this is none of my business, but can I give you some advice? And the foolish employee says, if it's none of your business, then mind your own business. A wise employee might say, I need all the advice and the counsel that I can get. The Bible's most gripping example of this is the story of a young king named Rehoboam. It's found in 2 Chronicles 10, if you want to read it sometime. Or if you want to look it up now, 2 Chronicles 10. His story covers several verses, so if you want to follow, turn there. Rehoboam had just become king. And the people feel like they've been working unduly hard under his predecessor. So before they allow him to be crowned as king, they ask him to lighten up on his demands for their labor. So if you pick it up in 2 Chronicles 10 verse 5, it says, Rehoboam answered, come back to me in 3 days. So the people went away. The king Rehoboam consulted the elders who had served his father Solomon during his lifetime. How would you advise me, he said, to answer these people? They replied, if you will be kind to these people and please them and give them a favorable answer, they will always be your servants. But Rehoboam rejected the advice the elders gave him and consulted the young men who had grown up with him and were serving him. He asked them, what's your advice? How should we answer these people who say to me, lighten the yoke your father put on us? The young men who had grown up with him replied, tell the people who have said to you, your father put a heavy yoke on us, but make our yoke lighter. Tell them, my little finger is thicker than my father's waist. My father laid on you a heavy yoke. I will make it even heavier. My father scourged you with whips. I will scourge you with scorpions. 3 days later, Jeroboam and all the people returned to Rehoboam. As the king had said, come back to me in 3 days. The king answered them harshly. Rejecting the advice of the elders, he followed the advice of the young men and said, my father made your yoke heavy. I will make it even heavier. My father scourged you with whips. I will scourge you with scorpions. Nice guy. So the king did not listen to the people, for this turn of events was from God to fulfill the word of the Lord had spoken to Jeroboam, son of Nebat, through Ahijah the Shilonite. When all Israel saw that the king refused to listen to them, they answered the king, what share do we have in David? What part in Jesse's son? To your tents, O Israel, look after your own house, O David. So all the Israelites went home. But as for the Israelites who were living in the towns of Judah, Rehoboam still ruled over them. King Rehoboam sent out to Adonirim, who was in charge of forced labor, but the Israelites stoned him to death. King Rehoboam, however, managed to get into his chariot and escape to Jerusalem. So Israel, it says, has been in rebellion against the house of David to this day. So here's the story of Rehoboam. After hearing their request, Rehoboam made 3 smart decisions. He asked for time to decide what to do. He was wise enough to know that this wasn't a time for a rushed decision. The second thing he did was seek advice in making the decision. He chose to listen before he decided. And the third thing he did was he listened to many counselors, not just one, and not even just one group. What Rehoboam wasn't interested in, though, was actual advice. What he wanted was confirmation of his own convictions. So the reason he went to 2 groups for advice was that the first group didn't tell him what he wanted to hear. Never mind that these men were older and wiser. Never mind that they had been there to help make his father the wisest and richest king of his day. Never mind that they had actually gone where Rehoboam wanted to go. This is the lesson of Rehoboam's entire life, which is now paraded before all history. The fourth thing about taking counsel is, I think, taking counsel from those who have been where we want to go. Friends, your life and mine, they're on a track. They're on a path that either leads us towards where we want to go or away from where we want to go. The secret to getting good counsel is first knowing that we need it, then seeking it from multiple reliable sources, and truly listening to those sources to learn what we didn't even know we didn't know, And most importantly, taking counsel from the right people. Counsel from people we respect, who have arrived where we want to go, with their character and their reputation intact. There's a real difference between the right track and the easy track. The wise man and the wise woman, they seek counsel from wise people, listen to it, heed it, walk a track that leads to where they want to go. So imagine for a minute what our lives would be like if we developed a habit, not of being impulsive in our decision making, and not of being indecisive either, but of consulting older, wiser, successful people than ourselves. Parents, imagine what we could learn and what heartaches we might avoid for us and our children if we counseled with successful, seasoned parents. Students, imagine how much better we will enter the work world if we link up from time to time with someone older, someone we admire, and ask their advice on things like study and how we approach homework and the classes we take and the uni we attend. Employees, imagine the steps we could save if we sought advice from people of character and success in our field and asked for guidance once in a while. Wouldn't be that hard, would it? Some of us wonder why our plans fail so often. Honestly, some of our plans have failed because we sabotage them. But many of our plans failed because they weren't the best plans. God's word says plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed. So what will you do today with this advice from Solomon in Proverbs? Here's my counsel. Come back next week. We get more wisdom every week, but we're not through yet. Solomon's just a few more lessons to teach us, so come back next week. Two, read the book of Proverbs. It's not that long. If you've been reading it regularly since we began the series, you'd have finished it by now. But even if you haven't, you'd finish it almost in the next 2 weeks at one chapter a day, next 3 weeks. Third thing, ask God to show you the counselors he has for you. Ask God that. Four, seek advice this week from someone who is where you want to be. Fifth one, follow Jesus. I think it's very interesting that while Jesus was on earth, the phrase he used more often than any other was, follow me. That's a directional statement. Follow me, walk behind me, walk the track that I'm walking. Come to me, he says, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. For the yoke I will place on you, on the track we will walk together, is easy, and the burden I will give you will seem light. For I am gentle and humble of heart. And as you follow me, you will find rest for your souls. Let's pray. Lord, help us to know that our destination is at the end of a direction. Help us to know that we can follow Jesus' direction on the track, on the path to our eternal place in your kingdom. But as we live our life daily here on earth, Lord, as we seek to follow Jesus here, in all the bits and pieces, the practicalities of our lives, help us too to find wise advice. Help us to be willing to seek counsel, to find out the things that we don't know. We don't know. So that even as we walk the daily track of our lives, we will find fullness in that life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.